In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. I pray thee, thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious, merciful to me, poor, sinful me. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He is risen. Hallelujah. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Hallelujah. Remember how he spake unto you. Hallelujah. The Son of Man must be crucified and the third day rise again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, who by the death of thy dear Son hast overcome sin and death for us, and by his resurrection hast assured us of our forgiveness and life everlasting beyond the grave, to the end that we, being delivered from the power of sin, death, Satan, and hell, should live in thy kingdom, both here on earth and hereafter in heaven. Grant that with all our hearts we may confidently believe this, and ever thank and praise thee through faith in thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Easter Sunday, is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, and reads as follows. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Now sing hymn 191. Thank you. Our gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, and reads as follows. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, as this is found on page 22 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead. His kingdom shall have no end. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning at verse 12 and reading through to verse 28 as follows. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he that hath put things under his feet, all things under his feet. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, that a dead person can be brought back to life after 3 days is something that human reason tends to reject, or at the very least, regard with much skepticism. You might remember how when the Apostle Paul was preaching on Mars Hill, the people there listened with great interest until he mentioned the resurrection from the dead. Once he did that, they no longer wanted to hear him. It should not surprise us when unbelievers mock our belief in the bodily resurrection from the dead, because it is something that lies beyond anything that we've seen in the world around us. But what is extra frustrating is that even among those who call themselves Christians, you will find people who deny the resurrection. They say they respect the Bible. They say they respect Christ. But they don't believe what the Bible says about Jesus' resurrection. And therefore they lose the chief doctrine of the Christian religion, namely that our sins are forgiven based on the atonement of Christ, received by faith without us doing anything to earn it. The Apostle Paul in our text for this Easter service explains some of the dangerous consequences of denying Christ's resurrection and the victory that is ours through him. Let us therefore ponder for our joy and edification the fact that we Christians have victory over death in the resurrection of Christ. On the basis of our text, we shall first consider the point that if Christ had not risen, we would be lost. And secondly, that Christ conquered death for us. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. As was mentioned in a sermon a few weeks ago, the Apostle Paul needed to rebuke, reprimand the congregation in Corinth, and shame them for allowing open sin and blatant false teachings to continue among them without correction. In the first verse of our text for today, we learn that one of the false teachings that was being advanced by some of the members at Corinth is that there is no resurrection from the dead. We read, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" This was an obvious point of frustration for the Apostle Paul, since he and his fellow missionaries had emphasized the resurrection of Christ as a central key point of the gospel. Those who were spreading the false doctrine that there is no resurrection from the dead did not seem to have as their main focus a denial of Jesus' resurrection specifically, but rather the general point that it is impossible for a dead person to come back to life. St. Paul does defend the teaching of Scripture that all of the dead will be raised on the last day, but he first wanted his readers to understand that by denying that the dead can be brought back to life, they were denying the possibility of Jesus' resurrection. He says in our text, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" And he repeats that same point again in verse 16, where he says, "If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." Now, the fact that Christ rose from the dead, and the fact that really all of the dead will be raised on the last day, are things that the Scriptures do set forth in very clear and certain terms, in many different places, in both the Old and in the New Testaments. Therefore, if it were true that the dead cannot come back to life, then that means what the apostles and prophets wrote, what you and I believe as Christians on the basis of Holy Scripture, isn't true. And so Paul says in our text, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." To do something in vain means to do it for nothing. So here it says, if there's no resurrection, then their preaching has been done for nothing. And the Corinthian Christians have been believing for nothing. Their faith is just based on lies, if the dead cannot be raised from the dead back to life. The apostle continues to drive home this point in our text when he says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." Again, if Jesus never rose from the dead, when the apostle Paul and all the other apostles and evangelists clearly testified that he did rise from the dead, that would mean they're false witnesses. That would mean they're liars. That would mean the book that they wrote in which they recorded their lies, the Bible, can't be trusted. If really Jesus did not rise from the dead, that means the Bible needs to be discarded as an unreliable book of lies. So you see how serious it is to deny that Jesus rose from the dead. But the Apostle Paul is not even done yet, describing the dangerous, dreadful, disastrous consequences of denying Christ's resurrection. He says in the next verse of our text, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." Without the resurrection of Christ, the Christian religion falls apart. The entire gospel is lost. And that means the promise of forgiveness conveyed in the gospel is a lie. And then what about those who have died in the Christian faith, who have fallen asleep, trusting in the Lord? Well, they're lost. They're perished. And so St. Paul says in our text, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, namely died in the Christian faith, are perished. Yes, eternal salvation in heaven is lost if Jesus never rose from the dead. We would have no hope. We would have no hope beyond this life, no hope beyond the grave, no lasting comfort for sinners. And what a sad condition that would be. This is why St. Paul continues in our text saying, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Those are the serious, most horrendous consequences of denying Christ's resurrection from the dead. Now, up to this point in our text, the Apostle Paul has been talking about the consequences of an untrue hypothetical. What if Christ didn't rise from the dead? Now, it's not true that he didn't rise from the dead, but he's advancing this point so that the Christians in Corinth can understand that to deny it, to deny Christ's resurrection, is no small matter. It's serious. It completely destroys the Christian faith. But now, as our text continues, St. Paul transitions into expressing the glorious fact that Christ has risen from the dead and what that means for us. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Again, that expression, them that slept, refers to the Christians who have died confiding in their Savior, fallen asleep in Christ. Jesus is the first fruits of what will happen with them. Just as his body was raised back to life, so will be the case for them. The bodies of all the believers will be raised in glory, fashioned after Christ. This point is continued in the next two verses, where we read, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. After dying on the cross in payment for our sins, Christ rose from the dead. That's what we're celebrating on Easter. And his resurrection assures us of our future resurrection on the last day. And notice our text says, just as death is universal, encompassing all mankind, so also is the resurrection. All, he says, shall be made alive. Yes, the dead and decayed bodies of both believers and unbelievers will be raised on the last day and reunited with their souls. Then the bodies and souls of the believers will live forevermore in heaven, and the bodies and souls of the unbelievers will be condemned to eternal destruction in hell. It is only by faith in the Lord Jesus and his substitutional sacrifice on the cross that we Christians can look forward to a most glorious, blessed resurrection on the last day. Again, Jesus' resurrection foreshadows our resurrection when he returns in glory. Our text says, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward, they that are Christ's, we Christians, at his coming. By redeeming us from our sins, Christ Jesus became the King of his holy Christian church, the great mediator between God and man. This rule over his kingdom of grace will continue and not end until the last day, when all of his enemies shall finally be destroyed, and the kingdom of believers here on earth will be delivered into the kingdom of glory in heaven. Our text says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. that last enemy of death, was already vanquished by Christ in his own death and resurrection. But it will be finally also brought to an end. Death will be vanquished for each one of us personally when we Christians are raised back to life on the last day. On that glorious day, all people will be brought before Christ, and they will all have to admit that he is the Lord God, the all-powerful King. There will be no atheists on the last day. All will acknowledge Jesus to be who he is, the all-powerful Son of God. Which is not to say that everyone will become Christians and saved and taken to heaven. But on that day, the non-Christians will believe in Jesus the same way that the devils, the demons, do now, namely with fear and trembling. We should not, however, think that Christ will only become the great King on the last day. Already now, he is the King of all creation. He rules over the entire universe with his power and glory. And for us Christians, he is already our King in the kingdom of grace. He rules over our hearts with his word. We serve him in cheerful obedience. God the Father has placed all things in heaven and on earth under his authority, with the one obvious exception of the Father himself. The Father didn't put himself under Christ's authority. We read in our text, "For he," the Father, "hath put all things under his," the Son's, "feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him." In this verse, Christ is being referred to specifically according to his human nature. And we know that because something divine, power and authority, is described as being given to him. Whenever the Bible talks about something belonging to God being given to Jesus, it's referring to his human nature. Because according to his divine nature, it doesn't have to be given to him. He already possesses it. Much like in the well-known verse where Jesus told his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He's talking about what's been given to his human nature. Divine attributes communicated to the human nature of Christ. And since in the person of Christ, the divine and human natures are inseparably joined together, his human nature has received all the fullness of the Godhead, as St. Paul writes in Colossians 2, verse 9. He has all power, all glory, all divine authority. At the last day, after Christ has conquered the final enemy, death, for us, then his work as mediator, as the head of the church, will have been completed. He will bring all things under the authority of God the Father, including that special authority as King of the Church. So Christ, as the head of the church, will also be brought under the Father. We read in our text, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him," namely Christ, "then shall the Son also himself," as the head of the church, "be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Yes, once that final judgment has taken place, and we are safe in the mansions of heaven, then Christ's special rulership over us as the mediator, the head of his church, will come to an end. There will be no more need for a mediator between God and man. And then we will all abide under the power and glory of the Holy Trinity for all eternity. So then, as our text says, that God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, may be all in all. The fact that Christ is the great King, who protects us and delivers us out of the hands of our enemies, including the final enemy, death, should cause us to thank and praise him, gladly serving him in our lives, cheerfully laying down our life when our time here on earth is past. We can do this because of the death of Christ and what his resurrection means. God's accepted the sacrifice of his Son for our forgiveness. we too shall rise after the pattern of Jesus' resurrection. Death for Christians is actually a blessing, from which we are delivered from all the pain and sorrow of this earthly life and taken into heaven, where there is only fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Which is why the Apostle Paul expresses himself this way to the Philippians: I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Furthermore, as has already been mentioned, death for Christians is described in the Bible, also in our text, as a kind of blessed sleep, from which our resting, corruptible bodies will awaken in glory and power on the last day, being made incorruptible. Later in this same chapter from which our text is taken, this final glorification of our bodies is described. If you have your Bibles open to where our text is found in 1 Corinthians 15, I'll be reading verses 51 through 57, where Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That great victory over death is yours. It has been secured for you by the death of Christ. It was ratified for you by his resurrection from the dead. May that victory always be a tremendous source of comfort in life and in death. To this end, ponder and rejoice in the Easter gospel that Christ is risen. Your faith in him is not in vain. You are not in your sins. Indeed, we Christians are in Christ, of all men, most joyful. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear Lord, we place before Thee our offerings of thanksgiving and praise for Thy glorious resurrection, in which we have the assurance that Thy word is truth, that our sins are forgiven, and that eternal life beyond the grave with Thee in everlasting joy and glory will be ours. O look upon our offerings with Thy favor and bless them to the honor of Thy holy name for Thy mercy's sake. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Thou God of peace, who hast brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, we thank and praise Thee for Thy mercy in His glorious resurrection. Make us truly glad in the heavenly tidings that He who died for our sins rose again on account of our justification, that because He lives, we too shall live, that death has no power over us, that He hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. Help us to receive with steadfast faith both the infallible proofs of His death and the infallible testimonies of His resurrection. Comfort us evermore with the assurance that our transgressions are hid and sealed in the grave where our dear Redeemer lay, and that there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Withdraw our hearts from all earthly desires and affections, that as pilgrims and sojourners we may hasten forward to our eternal inheritance of immortality in heaven. Cause the glad tidings of the Easter Gospel to be told unto the ends of the earth. Bless Thy church, O Lord. Govern Thy people and lift them up forever. Defend and maintain Thy church till the end of days. Give us shepherds who shall take heed unto themselves and to the whole flock over the which Thou hast made them overseers. And let all pastors and teachers hold fast the form of sound words of faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to this end, dear Lord God, we beseech Thee to move the hearts of men throughout our conference with the earnest desire to serve Thee in the pastoral office and to enroll in our seminary, that Thy word may continue to be preached and taught regularly and consistently in all the congregations of our conference, even if one or more of our pastors may be called out of this life, or may no longer be able to perform the functions of his pastoral office. We thank and praise Thee for blessing the recent medical procedures for the health and physical strengthening of Pastor Leitz. Graciously continue to bless him and his congregation, building up their faith and Christian confidence through the Easter gospel of the resurrected and ever-living Savior. Likewise also bless our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Uphold them through all their trials and afflictions. Grant them patience and comfort through the Scriptures, and cause them to abound in hope. O Thou God of peace, draw our souls and bodies to Thee in heaven, that all who are gathered here may live with Thee and praise Thee forever and ever. And in our Savior's name, we also now pray for our communicants. Dear Lord Jesus, who callest unto Thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray Thee, let these guests experience Thy love at the heavenly feast which Thou hast prepared for Thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with Thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at Thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of Thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for Thine own sake. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath guaranteed to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.